Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as thy children that adore thee, we come before thee this morning as we gathered ourselves together to worship thee, our God, to be fed of thy word. For we know that there are promises in there that help us to live and walk pleasing in thy sight. And so we have gathered again this morning hour to hear thy word, and we pray that you'll bless it according to thy will. You'll use the lips of clay to bring forth your message as we sit for learning. Bless our being together. Be with those that cannot be here. We pray for each and every one that would call upon thee in this day, that you would hear their prayers, answer, and be with them also. So bless us now as we call upon thee in Jesus' name. Amen. With God's help, I would like to read out of the book of St. John, chapter 3. St. John, chapter 3.
Ljubezni čitači, se iz Svetog Evanđelja po Jovanu, glava 3. Sveto Evanđelje po Jovanu, 3. glava.
There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh, whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. And Nicodemus answered and said unto him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, Art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, We speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and that they are wrought in God. And after these things came Jesus and his disciples into the land of Judea, and there tarried with them and baptized. And John also baptizing in Enon near Salim, because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. for John was not yet cast into prison. And then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not Christ, but that I am sent before him. And he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy, therefore, is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. And he that cometh from above is above, and he that is of earth is earthy, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he saith, when he hath seen and heard, that he testify, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth his Son, and hath given all things into his hand. And he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. May God. Nicodemus, a Pharisee, one that had been taught and trained in the law and in to understand the ways of God. But he was a little different, it seems, than the rest of the Pharisees, because he was inquisitive and he had questions, and he wanted to know more about this man Jesus, because they all knew that God had to be with him or he wouldn't be able to do these miracles. And so they had that much recognition for Christ. And yet, they wouldn't accept him, except Nicodemus was curious enough to come at night, because he probably didn't want to be seen. And so he comes at night with these questions. And of course, Christ explains this, and we find this recorded for us here today, as well as it was for Nicodemus. He wasn't the only one that needed to learn what it means to be born again. Because this portion of Scripture is very applicable today, as well as any time in history, including when Nicodemus was there. So we see here that Christ explains to him that a man must be born again. And of course, this is a common thing that we hear today. You must be born again. And of course, many people don't understand that. Most of us do. Anyone that's ever read the Scriptures and understands the Bible and wants to live accordingly will understand what it means to be born again. But if you don't understand it and you're not sure and you don't know why this says this here, then this is a good portion of Scripture for you to learn what does it mean to be born again. And Christ explains it. As he says, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. And then he says, that which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. So you see, there's a difference here of being born. Every one of us was born of the flesh, but not all of us are born of the spirit. And so if you ever want to see the kingdom of God and you ever want to plan to be in heaven, then you must be born again spiritually, not just physically. And so this is the thrust of this entire message that Christ has left with Nicodemus, so that he would understand, and that we too this day and age would be able to understand what does it mean. And the seriousness of this is that, as he says Every man which is born, marvel not this, I say, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, and cannot tell when it come. And whether it goeth, so is every one that is born of the Spirit. And when he says that you cannot enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again, that's a very profound statement, if you will. There's a lot of weight behind that statement. And if you think for 1 minute that you can get to heaven because any other reason, maybe you was born into a Christian family, maybe you come to church all your life, maybe you come 3 times a week, or Sundays, and then on Wednesdays. But does that don't necessarily mean that you're born again? Now, the reason that we come to hear the Word of God, and the Word of God teaches us that we, when we hear the Word, that's what gives us the faith. Faith cometh by hearing. And so we need to have faith in what we believe as far as being born again. And so that's why we go into this part here in the famous John 3:16, that God so loved his world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now the key to that is believe. Whosoever believeth in him. In verse 15 it says, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so we have to say, well then what exactly does it mean to believe? I'm one for definitions. I believe we need to know what the word means. And so if you take the word believe, you take the word faith, and you take the word trust, they intertwine so closely together and mean almost exactly the same thing that you can't separate one from the other. If you believe, then you need to have faith. If you have faith, then you will trust in God. Believing means to accept that is what is true and real. That's what believe means. Now it says, he that believeth on the Son of God, whosoever believeth in him should not perish. So it takes we have to believe that this is true. And how do we believe that? We have faith. A belief in value, true, or worthiness in someone or something. So the faith that we have to believe that what is being said, what is being preached in this word is the truth. And then it says, trusting, confidence or faith in a person or a thing to believe, to accept, or to depend on. So you see how those are intertwined so close together that you can't separate one from another. You can't have trust and not have a faith. You can't have faith and not have belief. If you do, you're on the wrong track. So it takes all three of those, and this is why he explained to them, you must believe. And we need to understand then what exactly it means to believe. And of course, it entails all this. Trusting in the Lord, living for him, believing every word that we write, read in the scriptures that teach us how to live, teach us all we must do. We read in Romans chapter 6, it teaches us that we must be baptized in the likeness and the death of Jesus Christ. What does that mean? Do you understand that? Those of us that are converted, well understand it because we've already been there, did that. But those of you that have not, you may have a problem understanding what exactly does it mean to be baptized in the likeness of Jesus Christ and in his death. But if you don't believe that and you don't trust in that, you're already on the wrong track. It takes that faith and that belief. That's why it's so important for us to understand the meaning of words, so that we can understand the scripture, so that we can understand what it means to be born of the flesh, be born of the spirit, and the separation between the two. And so this is the thing that Christ was trying to preach to the Nicodemus so that he would understand this, and so it was recorded and written for our good, for our benefit. But it also gives a reason here exactly, maybe perhaps, why men don't have that belief. Why don't all men have that trust in Christ? Why don't they have the faith that it takes to believe in being baptized and being baptized in the likeness of his death? Why don't they? Here's what he says. It says God sent his son into the world God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. So there we see again the emphasis on believing. And again, we need to understand, what does it mean to believe? It means to trust, to believe, believe the truth of the word. You know, if you don't believe the truth of the word, and there are people that don't. There are people that say the Bible is inerrant, that it was written by some man, and it's all his ideas. No, that's not true at all. We have to believe that the word of God is written by men, yes, inspired by God, and is written down and recorded for us, for our benefit, to become one of his children, to become baptized, to believe, and to trust, and to have the faith. That's what the Bible's all about. And we need to believe that, and we need to witness and testify of that fact for those that may perhaps we run across that don't believe this and don't trust in it. So you see, here's what he says then. He said, and this is the condemnation, that light cometh into the world. Well, first he said, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. What does it mean to be condemned? Just because you don't believe, that's why you're condemned. Why are you condemned? And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world. Again, what we need to believe. We have to believe that Christ came, he is the light of the world, and this is why we believe in him. Because he brought the light of gospel of Jesus Christ. He brought the gospel message to us so that we could be saved, not condemned. And so this is, as he says, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. So there's the reason right there why men don't come, because they love darkness. What do they mean by he loves darkness rather than light? I'd rather be much sooner in the daylight than at nighttime. Nighttime for me is time to sleep. And everything you do, you got to have some sort of light. Either turn the lights on, take your flashlight, turn the candle on, whatever it takes so you can see. But in the daylight, in light, you can see. And so I believe all of us prefer the light as opposed to darkness. And so he uses this metaphor for us to understand, what does it mean then to be in the light and in the darkness? And Christ talked many times about that darkness and how dark it is. When a man is in his sins and in this world and he don't believe in Jesus Christ, he's walking in darkness. Whether it's daylight or dark, it doesn't make any difference. You are in darkness because you don't believe, and as a result, you love darkness rather than light, and as a result of that, you become condemned, like it or not. That's not something I said. That's not something I brought together. That's God's word. That's what he says in his word. And that's what you and I, as we come to church, we hear the word, need to believe, need to trust, need to have the faith in. That Christ is the light of the world. He came, and men, as it says here, rather have darkness because their deeds are evil. I can relate to that. I can relate to that because before I was ever converted, I'd much rather live in darkness. I didn't want my deeds to be revealed. I was ashamed. At the time, I wasn't, but I didn't want to be exposed. I didn't want to know it. And I often thought of coming to the Lord and being one of God's children. How am I ever going to confess? How am I going to ever admit to the wrongs and the sins that I lived in? That just sounded like, I can't do that. I'm too embarrassed. But you know what? When the time came, I was ready to tell everybody, anybody that wanted to hear. I didn't care. I wanted my deeds exposed, that God would forgive me, and that Satan would be exposed, and that he would be put to shame because of the exposure that was there. Because I confessed my sins, and I was glad to do it. That's the only way that we can become new. That's the only way we can become born again. Forsake the sins that we loved and lived in. Learn to hate them. And be willing to confess them. And let the world know, it doesn't matter who. Make a clean slate. Start over again. And that's what being born again is all about. That's what being regenerated, if you will, is all about. That's why we become baptized. That's why when we're baptized and we're buried in the likeness of Christ, we arise as a new creature or a new person. We're changed. We're not interested in those sins no more. We have died to that. And so then we have a new life to live, and we live it for Christ. We all try to do the best that we can in whatever ways that we find our lives and in our lives necessary. Not all of us are the same at that. But nevertheless, we all have and know and understand the responsibility individually that we have. And so we take Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. He understands us. He forgives us. And he's willing to walk with us, be with us, and strengthen us. We need to believe that. That's part of this faith. That's part of trusting. And we, as we understand trusting, adhere to Jesus Christ. When we got problems, when we got trials, we take them to Christ so that we can pour our heart out. He understands. He knows us. He knows us well. But he wants us to come to him as a childlike, in a childlike faith. Come to him trusting, believing that he will help us, that he will save us, that he will do whatever we ask if it's according to his will. And so this is what the Christian life is all about. This is why this is recorded for us to understand what this means. And even as he says there, for everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. And that is so true. That is so true. And so we see here then that we go on to, and it talks about John the Baptist, and he was baptizing, as it mentions here, that he was baptizing in these two places because there was much water. And Jesus also was baptizing, and the scripture also makes that clear that Jesus himself didn't baptize, but his disciples did. And there's a reason, probably a good reason for that. People would get baptized, and because they was baptized by Christ, they felt maybe that was some special thing, and so they had a better edge on someone that wasn't baptized by Christ, and so they was maybe a little higher in elevation as far as faith and being a child of God was because they was baptized by Christ. No, that's not true at all. So that's why Christ, I believe, never baptized anyone. Only his disciples did it, and John the Baptist did it. And they're the ones that performed the baptism. But because people began to understand what it means to be born again, what it means to repent, what it means to be a child of God, that's when the disciples then, as it says there, some of them came to John and asked about this man that's over in Jordan that's baptizing them. And John tried to make it very clear. We need to understand. And they didn't quite understand because they thought so much of John and they had a lot of focus on John. He was doing what was right. He was baptizing people. He was confessing their sins. And so he was baptizing many. Even Christ himself was baptized by John. So they had a high regard for John, and his disciples wanted to know, what's with this man that you talked about? And so that he again had to make it straight. And again, it's recorded for our good. He said, and John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except that be given him from heaven. Ye yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. So you see, he had to make that very clear. He was not the Christ. They came to him when he first began to baptize, and they wanted to know who he is. What's up with this? And so he had to explain that he was the forerunner. If they would have understood the scriptures, it's recorded in the Testament that there will be someone like John that will bring the way of Jesus Christ, and this is what was his job and his responsibility, that he was the forerunner of Christ, so that men would begin to accept him as the Savior, as the Christ, as the Messiah. And of course, we read in the scriptures where many of the Jews could not accept that, could not believe that. Many of the Gentiles did. And many of us today do. Many Jews don't. But there are more and more Jews, as they claim, are becoming Messianic Jews, or what they call Messianic Jews, which become Jews that believe in the Messiah, which is Jesus Christ, that he came and that he was here. A lot of them don't accept Christ. And so we see here, this is what he's bringing forth, that gospel message that Christ is the one. And that's why he says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because the bridegroom's voice, this is my joy, therefore fulfilled. And so when John heard and about Christ baptizing me and all about what he was going on, what was happening there, this was the joy of John the Baptist. He had completed his job, and we read later that he was actually put into prison because of what he said to Philip, that he was married to this woman, this that wasn't even his wife, wasn't supposed to be. And he was living in adultery, and he told him that. And so he put him in prison and eventually took off his head. So you see, John fulfilled his job. He said, I must increase, he must increase, but I must decrease. He that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of earth is earthy, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. And what he said, and what he hath seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. Then he said, he that hath received his testimony hath set to his seal that God is true. So anyone that was accepting what John was teaching and preaching, as he taught this here, and that he was the forerunner of Christ, and as he was teaching about who Christ is, that he says here then that he cometh from above. And this is why he had to explain that he was from above. This is God's son. This is the Messiah. This is the one that they were looking for, but wouldn't accept it, wouldn't believe it. And so he said, I must decrease, but he will increase. And we can read then in other parts where John went on to as he baptized Christ and eventually was taken out of the scene, and Christ seemed to take over things. And so he goes on to say then, for he whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. And so you can see here that Christ, being the Son of God, we all are given a measure of faith. If we read in the book of Romans, where it talks about the different gifts, some have faith, some have the ability to evangelize, some have teaching, and so forth. These are the things that different ones have. And not everybody has the same faith, but for Christ, there was no limit. He was the Son of God, and he made this clear. He was not given the faith or this spirit by measure. He is the Spirit. He is God. He is part of the Trinity. And so this is what, again, part of our faith, part of our belief, that we trust in Him, that He was the part of the Trinity, that He was the Spirit. Whatever He spoke what the Lord told Him, what God told Him, and this is what He did. This was His job. And so this is why He goes on to say that He has the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit of by measure unto Him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things unto His hand. And then He said, He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not, the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on Him. The choice is ours. We either believe or we don't. And I'm sure that there's some of them maybe racing it through their mind. I believe. That's why I came to church, because I believe. Do you? If you believe, then why have you not taken steps to become one of His children? Why have you not then brought your deeds that they might be manifest? Why have you not confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord? You believe? Why have you not made some effort to counsel with someone that would help you to understand the way of salvation? I've done this. And you want to tell me you believe? Thank God you're here. And thank God you do believe to some extent. But don't let it stop there. And just like any of God's children, none of us reach a plateau. Okay, we're baptized. We believe. We did all that. And now our beliefs can stop right here because we've gone through. No. We take and trust God every day for every little thing in our lives. And our faith grows, our belief in Jesus Christ and our trust in Him grows on a daily basis. And if it isn't, then we're descending. Our grace, the grace of God, talks about the grace of God, that we must grow in grace. And we must grow in this. If we're not, we're at a standstill, we're at a stalemate. No, don't stop there. Continue to trust in Him every day, all your life. Whether you become 50, 70, 80, 90 years old. Sister Dorothy, 94, still professes to trust in God, believe in God. She prays to God and asks for His help every day. But she can't get through. She knows that she depends upon Him. She's learned over many years to depend on Him, and still does. And so it doesn't stop. Your faith and your belief doesn't stop. We must continue to believe in Him, trust in Him, and adhere to His teachings and His all of the scriptures that we read, that we can grow in grace and that we can continue to be faithful unto Him. If you don't know what it means to be faithful, that's because you're not growing in faith. And because you don't understand what it means to continue to believe and trust and obey. So, dearly beloved, what He has written to Nicodemus, He has written to us. And we must continue to walk in this faith that we have in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesus took this time to meet with Nicodemus and shared with him many things about the nature of the kingdom that Jesus was preaching about. That the things of His kingdom were not physically apparent, like the wind, not medically clear or apparent how a brass serpent that's raised in the wilderness could heal those that were bitten. It's a mystery. Nicodemus was given much to think about. The next time we see Nicodemus, he is with the other priests and he's trying to reason with them, asking them, why don't we ask and see what Jesus is doing and make sure we're doing the right thing? And they completely disregard him. I hope that we can see that the world is unreasonable and the world will not listen. The world will not care. He probably left that meeting with the other priests disappointed how little they cared for the truth. But then the next time we see Nicodemus, we see what Jesus was trying to teach here. The next time we see Nicodemus, he's at the cross. And he's helping take down the body of the Savior. And he's at the tomb, and he's washing off the blood and the spit, and he's pulling out the thorns from the hair and the brow of the one who gave his life for him. And it doesn't make sense for him to do that. Only if he would believe that Jesus would raise from the dead. Only if he believed that he had the power over death and sin. Only if he would believe that all of the promises of God are fulfilled in Jesus Christ and that he would rule and reign and bring that kingdom that he was longing for. Does that expression of love and outpouring that is so unpopular and doesn't make sense to the world, it makes all the sense to the child who believes. We begin with a conversation, but it's to bring us to the cross so that we too can believe with all of our hearts everything that Jesus said about himself, and that we could pour out an expression and sacrifice of love to him. Because it's true. The expression of love and sacrifice that he poured out for us makes no sense. Unworthy and undeserving, Jesus brought the message that God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.